Bring the mic close.
It's good.
There you go.
It's great. All right. Yeah. So are we rolling?
We're rolling.
All right. Do you want to start with like...
Oh, yeah, I'll start. Ready?
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Not Boring Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Redman. This is not Suits and Handshakes business. This is Not Boring Business. Let's go. We got our guest, Brad Kanan, or Kanan.
Kanan, yeah.
Kanan. Brad Kanan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Introduce yourself, just a little bit of background, and then we'll get into what we were talking about.
Alrighty. Hi, I'm Brad. Great to be here today on the show with my friend, Jeremy Redman.
That's me.
For the opportunity. I am a graduate of Michigan State University as well, so go Green.
Congratulations.
Spartan. And I moved out here about 4 years ago to kind of get my feet wet in the film industry. That led me to do a lot of random but, you know, interesting things. I did some background work for a while.
What were you background in?
Oh, like actually, I had some pretty cool roles.
Tell me these. This is great.
My first was on Key and Peele.
In
like a club scene. I can't remember exactly what the episode was, but that was really fun.
That seems like it would be fun.
And then I worked on this show called The Crazy Ones with Robin Williams in an episode.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Played a Jewish frat boy.
Okay.
I'm not Jewish, so.
Oh yeah, you just look Jewish, I guess.
Apparently, yeah.
You look the part.
Yeah. And I got to meet Robin Williams. It was a few
got
months.
Got to meet
before.
Him.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Which I mean, you know, you can't to kind of like put it into perspective, you know, as being like a completely like insignificant part and a very low on the pay scale, but still being able to be next to somebody like Robin Williams.
See,
you know,
you feel
that's the thing. That's the thing about being out here. You know, you can have those kind of experiences. And
one of the greatest things about being like in LA is like, I think every other person you see on the street, you're like, you're surrounded by the greatest people in every area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like only the most ambitious people throughout the entire country come here. Like, think about that. Even the people that like pack up and leave are the people that like had the action energy to make it across the country here in LA.
Absolutely.
Right or wrong, you tell me.
No, yeah, I think it is. I mean, because it's from where we're both originally
Michigan,
from
the mitten,
America's high five, if you will. You know, it's really far away. It's a completely different environment, and it can be very cutthroat. But I think that pressure on you to achieve greatness and to really have to be creative and edge out the competition and try new things is, I mean, obviously it makes for a very stressful experience. You know, you're not going to come out here and just have everybody, you know, whining and dining you from the get-go. You know, you have to put in the time, you have to shed a few tears,
you know
spend a lot of sleepless nights, and you will have those questions. But I think the perseverance element and giving it a good amount of time to be able to grow into something, and for you to be open to looking at yourself as much as you can and trying to make sure you stay true to that, you know, because you're going to get pulled in so many different directions.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because there is that dark side of LA where, you know, it's just a dark side. There's shapeshifters out there. So be wary of the shapeshifters. I mean, I've had my fair share of experiences. I think you need to have those experiences in order to have the perception that you need to be successful in business. But
business,
it's not for the faint of
like,
heart.
Right, like that.
I mean, no successful
business. The movie
businesses.
Business, the business.
Right.
I think this city has a weird way of testing you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You have to, it's like the rite of passages is like crying yourself to sleep a few nights. You know what I mean? If you if you haven't cried yourself to sleep, you're not dreaming big enough.
Oh, man.
And your ambitions don't match the buildings here.
I've cried myself awake.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Like, I might need to add that.
Sometimes I feel like, because I have this path home. I always take this path home.
My
backwards path up the hills, like up through like Outpost Estates, you know, Outpost Estates.
No.
Okay.
I'm not familiar.
And it's like, it's up in the Hollywood Hills.
Okay.
And I just like...
Hollywood Hills, yeah.
I envision. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I roll down my windows and like on a cool night, like it's like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Play some song and some song will come on that will just like trigger some emotion. And yeah. I'll just be pulling on Mulholland, just fucking going, no, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I get it. I get that like all the fucking time. Like, now it's more often than it probably should be. Like, but like I go, so I'm a fucking wreck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you've got to have those moments, I think.
Right, you know what
I
mean? Right.
Like, you're not trying hard enough if you don't have those fucking breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, well, you need to render yourself
vulnerable. It's vulnerable.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, because without great like change, you know, you're not gonna make any significant, you know, improvements in your life. I mean, that's one thing that I realized recently too. You know, just being able to identify exactly what it is you want and not put anything else in that place just to fill the void. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think that's really important because there's all those, you know, things that kind of like hover on the surface of people's identity.
Yeah.
But once you cut away that one thing, it might be just one thing. It might be a relationship. It might be, you know, an obsession with some sort of material possession, could be a substance.
Yep.
But yeah, once you reel with yourself and you make that painful incision and extract that toxic element to your life, then you truly open yourself up to change. Now that process is very difficult. It's difficult to keep going once you see the blood flowing, right?
It is.
But you have to, and you have to bite on to, you know, the bullet or whatever it is that you have, and also bring other people into your life that are supporting you during that operation.
Absolutely. So, like, you bring up a good point. Mm-hmm. And that point is of relationships and making decisions and having people support you.
Mm-hmm.
You recently broke up with your girlfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're building a company.
Yeah.
So like the interesting thing to me is like when you're dating, like I'm so far along in my dating life. Like it's not dating. I couldn't imagine like dating someone or like being in the dating game while creating a company. It's just it needs like 90 of my hours a week.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? How did that go down? Like what was that choice like?
Well, you know, it was a mutual decision for the most part, both, you know, kind of going our separate ways. I mean, I definitely at the point where, you know, there's still more effort and more energy and more time that there's always more of me that I can give to something. It's just, you know, there's just that, you know, human element of, you know, it's not necessarily sloth, but it's like, you know, you reach that certain level and you're like, I'm tired. I just want to hang out. I just want to enjoy myself, you know, and it becomes laborious, you know, just working on the same thing all the time. But
ooh, laborious.
Laborious.
I like that.
Laborious.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I think so.
But yeah, you know, I just realizing that one, if you are in a situation where one person, you know, definitely is depending on you for a certain amount of assistance or support, and you're not able to give that to that person, but you still want to feel like you're in a relationship. Because I know for a lot of people, including myself in the past, it's been very like a very important element to your identity as a person. It's kind of like your proof. It's like, oh, I'm, you know, because I'm not single, it means like I'm like a good, you know, good person.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in society, we're all kind of like, you know, people encouraged to get married and to do this and that.
Oh, yeah. Especially
and,
where we're from.
And, you know, yeah, exactly. It's very like, it's a very like a nuclear family kind of concept, you know, and the statue of marriage and, you know, all that. It's a very American thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kind of realizing that not only will that be in your mind all the time when you're trying to give yourself 110%, but also you will, and it, not that you have any malcontent, but you won't be able to provide what the other person really needs. So
yeah, exactly.
If you really care about them, it's actually better to be like, hey, I need to do this on my own for a while. You know, I love you, or I really enjoy your company, or whatever, but you know, you need to create that space for yourself.
So is it you prioritize, like, for instance, is it you thinking like, if I don't give 100%, 100, exactly. like you said, 110% to this venture.
Yeah.
I'm going to look back at this and regret that I didn't. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So like,
absolutely.
And then if you do that, you're unfair in that relationship because she or
right,
he
right.
Might
so it's bizarre how it can actually turn into a negative thing, not only for yourself, but for the other person as well.
Absolutely.
So in a way it's more, and you know, I'm sure there'll be people that'll like debate this and what, you know, love means and like, you know, all that stuff. But I think that it's almost more selfless to be able to go at least on your own for a while until you reach a certain point or a certain goal. And also that success will magnetize other people with yeah. similar drives and similar passions. And you will just, your I guess you could say your social circle and, you know, not that, you know, the people are going to be, you know, not down to earth and things like that, but you will meet people that are kind of with, they'll meet you somewhere along the way. You know, because kind of, you know, as a person, like, you know, throughout life, we all go through a state of maturing and becoming more or less like improved versions, like software. You know, it's like I'm kind of like an operating system. However, you know, that example doesn't always speak true, especially with like Apple's updates and stuff. Like, you know, why update if the system is working?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But there's always, but that's the thing. That's another thing in life. You know, why update? Because we do have that fear sometimes. We're like, oh, I'm good. Like everything's working.
Oh.
Why would I want to reboot? Why would I, you know what I mean? But sometimes the rebooting, it's the risk. But then that risk can open up more doors for you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But you have to be willing to take that step. You know.
Out through the door.
Exactly.
You gotta have the mm-hmm. fucking ambition to walk through the door. Mm-hmm. I believe a lot of people, I think you need to have patience, one, mm-hmm. to see that door open. And then two, you would be so surprised. Well, maybe you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
At how many times there is a door open and people just don't have the motherfucking courage to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the courage?
Well, I mean, I've gotten through a couple doors already, and I've been out here for 4 years, and I feel like, you know, I may as well just keep it going, you know, as long as it's, you know, for the most part, like I'm not putting myself in any like life-threatening situation.
Yeah.
I'm not encouraging people to do stupid crap, you know?
Like what?
Well, you know, I'm not a risk taker in terms of like I'm not going to, you know, go like,
oh yeah, sure.
You know, like try to walk a tightrope between like the US Bank building. And,
yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
But,
I'm not going to do that either.
You know, I know, like, oh, let's go run across, you know, Hollywood Boulevard on a Friday night and see what happens.
Right.
You know, maybe something amazing will happen. You don't know. But in a sense though, like I do feel like I am, and the reason being is not just because of myself, but because of all the great like people I have in my life, my family, my friends, you know, people have supported me, and even relationships now that, you know, I may not have, you know, may not be the same. And that's the other thing too, you know, every single relationship in your life is, you know, it gives you something, and you can choose to look at it that way.
Sure.
You don't have to look at everything exactly how it made you feel afterwards, but rather, oh wow, this happened when I was, you know, working with this person, or this happened when I was dating this
person. That's the value of perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's probably one of the most important things, because the more you dwell on just like the negativeness, the more power you give to
mm-hmm.
that.
Do you ever let yourself feel negativity? I think people, mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. almost think, mm-hmm. almost mm-hmm. that some people romanticize positivity. So like,
yeah, oh yeah, for
without
sure.
having that realistic view on something,
yeah.
then they go, it didn't mm-hmm. work out, and mm-hmm. not the way I hoped, but the way I romanticize it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I'm gonna come to LA, I'm gonna get a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be amazing. And it's like, great. That's great, honey. But do you know that you're going to have to fucking walk through fire
mm-hmm.
to get there? You know
what
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. There's a difference between, I think what you're describing is kind of, there's a difference between, in my opinion, between happiness and like optimism.
Mm.
And another word I like to use is joy, because I feel like joy and optimism
are different. Like happiness is kind of like a drug, right? You
sure.
know, you take it and, you know, you're like happy, and it's kind of like this, almost like this Disneyland kind of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
where
sure.
it's like this, you know, this happiness, the
yeah,
happiest
right.
place on earth, right?
Happiest place on earth.
You go there, you're happy, and then you leave and you're depressed. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like a weird drug.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
it's like happiness is a temporary thing.
Right.
Whereas joy and optimism is a state of mind. I think a lot of people, like, you know, I'm definitely more cynical in some ways, but the way I look at it, instead of being like, oh, I'm negative or I'm cynical, it's more like you just kind of adapt you develop kind of like a logic and reasoning kind of thing. A complex of some sort, and you develop wisdom more or less.
Sure.
You know, because then you can kind of see both sides. You can see how the light and the darkness play out.
Oh.
And it was funny. This is like a random little thing, but just talk about movies for a
yeah,
second.
Yeah, great.
Have you ever seen the movie Legend?
I Am Legend?
No, Legend.
No.
It's from the 80s, 1985.
No. You're a big 80s guy, though.
Yeah. And,
big Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Like we were just talking
yeah.
about in their car.
Well, you know, I got the shirt too. Rachel, see that?
Look at that.
That's true, man.
I love it.
Yeah. Femme Fatale. Yeah. Very noir. But anyway, the reason I bring that film up is because there's a character called Darkness. And you know, he's kind of personified to look like the devil, but it's actually incredible. It's probably the best part about the movie. Tim Curry, I don't know if you're familiar
yep,
with Tim
yeah.
Curry.
It.
Rocky Horror. Yeah. It. He plays Darkness.
Yeah.
And it's so cool
he
because
he lives in my neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Wow. You should tell him that his performance in Legend was spectacular.
I should say
and
that.
And underrated, I
yeah.
think, for if
just
anybody hasn't, if you haven't seen this film, it's a fantastical voyage. Some of the, I mean, like every shot in the movie is a money shot. It just looks,
oh, wow.
I mean, obviously Ridley Scott, visual,
sure, yeah.
visual mastermind.
You're obviously a huge
becoming
Ridley
a little
Ridley
old
Scott
and
fan.
Senile.
Yeah, right.
You know, but still, regardless, you know, has touched some really incredible projects. But anyway, so in the movie, you know, there's this like, Darkness character is kind of personified by this demon, devilish looking guy. And it's really cool because you kind of he's presented in a way where you kind of actually like him in a way. And he says one time he has a line where he's like, without darkness, the world wouldn't be the same. There wouldn't be a balance. And so I think that is kind of an interesting thing,
fucking
you know,
amazing.
Because I think, like, yes, I think if you are just, you know, living in a world where it's just all happiness and there's no, like,
I love that.
You know, there
I
isn't
write it down almost.
Yeah, there isn't any consideration of pain or suffering,
right.
or can you know any like thought of that? Then yeah, you're totally. It's like you're brainwashed, kind of. So. I think the true form of finding joy and optimism actually comes from being able to balance those feelings, because you need to let yourself feel those sort of things, but you don't want it to control you.
Agreed.
And this is another whole conversation I can have about how our society kind of, you know, we're dramatic and we don't need
to. Oh, we
to
love
be.
The drama.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't need
says
to.
Says my Facebook feed.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
We just love drama.
Right,
everyone
right.
loves fucking drama.
Well, totally. It's really neat because I think they're absolutely – because most people think that being strong is like showing it with force and, you know, things like that. It's kind of goes into like patriarchy and things like that. Whereas true strength is an emotional balance and wisdom and actually compassion and things like that.
Okay.
Rather than just like, you know – throwing a spear into the beast, like actually, you know, having a conversation with the beast before you, you know, you know
before
what I mean?
You kill it.
Yeah, because most people are just so quick
yeah.
to just throw something
yeah.
away. You know, like,
shoot.
Oh, he's dead to me.
I
oh.
know another quote
yeah.
from my
yeah.
one of my other favorite movies called Wild Wild West with Will Smith.
Oh, jeez.
He said, and I'll always remember this.
Yeah.
And he was like, Will Smith's character in the movie was, or his one of his philosophies
mm-hmm.
was, shoot first, ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't obviously ask questions to someone you've just shot, right?
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always think of that quote.
Fascinating.
Because like, I'm aggressive out of the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you got to think, like, hey, I got to have
well,
questions
no.
before I slay this monster.
Right, right.
You know?
Totally. Yeah.
It's about dialogue.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, I mean, the thing you hate the most might actually be the thing that you need to get right with.
Sure.
You know, and before you destroy it.
Ooh.
I mean, it's kind of like a Batman
thing. So you're
a destroyer. You know, it's like a Batman thing. You become
yeah, right.
what you fear, you know. You,
yeah.
You, yeah. You don't just write it off.
And you don't write it off.
Right.
You never write it off.
And you can't. And that's the thing. If you put that kind of energy out there, it can be really beneficial, because there are times in your life when you may be the beast and somebody else is trying to, you know, but if that person were to just dispose of you without any consideration for your feelings or anything, mm-hmm. like it could really, I don't know. It might be a roadblock.
Yeah.
You
know?
But if you are like kind of taking that into consideration, and I'm not trying to say put up with anybody's bullshit, but you know, there's always that element, I think, with anybody, that you do have a choice, and you can look at yourself and be like, oh, I've done this and that. And all it takes is like one person just to be like, hey, I'm willing to listen to you. That side of the argument. And I think that is just the core of how everything happens in the world, because not, you know, in the situation that we're not really willing to have those conversations. We just want to point fingers,
talk in our echo chamber, mm-hmm. only listen to the people who mm-hmm. share our opinion.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Because it's like with any like really great piece of art or, you know, especially just going back to film, you do need people that can challenge what is happening to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, and obviously sometimes I think when like directors like become too egotistical or too powerful, I think their work really suffers, because they've kind of like cut out any of that, I guess, that any of that platform for anyone to speak like their mind about something. So I think that's really essential for collaboration, being able to be open and receive.
Do you think about all the greats or the people that we like hold mm-hmm, dear as mm-hmm. like geniuses?
Yeah.
Right. Do you think, I think most of them've gotten to that platform because they've almost thought unilaterally. Mm-hmm. Now think about this a little bit out of the box, right? Like, you like to think that they're team players, right?
Right.
And I've admitted to being a team player, but it needs to be my team. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So how much of that is like their ego or my ego being mm-hmm. in, like, I want to be the person who pulls the pieces together. And if I'm that person, mm-hmm. I feel like this is my team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, how much, like when you say like a director takes his ego and his opinion and stops listening to other people, how much do they need that to be great? Right. So mm-hmm. is it only when the project fails that, oh, it's like he didn't listen to other people? But like, the reason he got there was because he listened to himself and he was egotistical. People don't just grow a fucking ego.
Right, right. No, I understand.
You know what I mean? Deep dive on that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean,
think about it.
Yeah.
Deeply. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go in there and you're like, hey, everyone, and you see what's like being uncovered and like kind of Hollywoodish, and you go, yeah, everyone's kind of like that. We were talking about this before. Mm-hmm. Everyone's kind of got that side, that the darkness side, that like that we just kind of like keep under covers. You know what I mean? But like, I don't think people get to the level that these people have gotten. Like, I don't know why I'm thinking Christopher Nolan right now. Probably because he's one of the hottest directors right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. But like, one of the most.
He has a secret weapon, though.
What's that?
His brother.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because his brother has written a lot of his.
Yeah, like right.
Films. He wrote The Dark Knight. He wrote Interstellar, two of his probably biggest hits. I'm not sure about I'm not sure about Dunkirk, but actually, I haven't actually seen the film.
He was involved, I think.
Probably, yeah. Produced. And actually, it was cool. That was another experience I had earlier.
You were
on.
An extra?
Not an extra. No. I PA'd on the pilot of Westworld.
Yeah, and I was just. About
it
to
was
bring that
cool
up.
Because Jonah was, you know, very like I guess gracious and.
Did you meet him?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I met him, you know, just once, pretty much near, like, the end, like, when we wrapped the pilot episode.
All right, tell me this, because I always hear, like, extras can't talk to, like, the talent, right? So, like, how are you how are you meeting these people?
Well,
is it your ego?
it's more
tell
proximity.
Me, is it your ambition?
I mean, it's more proximity when somebody's just, like, standing next to you and you're not
rolling. But don't they tell
rolling.
You not to fucking talk to them?
Well, I mean, it just depends on who, you know, you know, ADing or, you know, who's a production. I mean, you can pretty much do whatever you want. I mean,
that's
if they're there.
Like, that's
I mean, yeah, I mean, they can kick you out. They can,
there's
like,
people
blacklist
who follow
you.
Rules, and there's people who don't follow
right,
rules and get
right.
what they want.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can just look at, I mean, Mr. Spielberg, right?
Yeah.
mean, the guy, he used to sneak into Universal Studios and and like hang out on sets. And if I'm not mistaken, his first, you know, kind of film project, or I don't know if it was Amblin, I'm not sure, but I remember hearing a story where like he slipped it under like some studio exec's door and was like, hey, you know, just like taking a chance on faith,
dude,
that something would happen. And then of course, you know,
that's what I love about the
parallels. Yeah, I mean, I think you do have to be a little bit of a rebel to be able to actually
get what you want, make your dreams happen.
And of course, keeping other people's like safety and their health and things like that into consideration. I mean, people that do stupid stuff that threatens other people's lives and well-being, I mean, that's never right.
Dude, but that
those
is never
little
right.
like gray areas, it's like, oh yeah, you know, like you probably, you know, should follow the rules and not do this or not do that. But if it were to happen, is it really going to make any difference at all? I'm not encouraging people to go out and break rules, but I do think that you have to definitely think outside the box sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, also remain, there's a way to do it professionally. I think there's a way to do it well.
Sure.
You know, there's definitely like the way to walk into a set and just be a total tool, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, and try to like talk to everybody and
yeah.
things like that. But there, yeah, there's ways that you can
I think
that.
You have to, what, so you're saying you have to have a, like a delicate, delicate, pretentiousness, like you
sure.
got
I mean you just have to have like a you just have to have standards
yeah you have right? to have like a presumption,
but that comes from working with all sorts of people and figuring out what works and what doesn't and what kind of things you really want as well. And that's the toughest thing when you, because if you have a good thing going and you get comfortable in that, then you kind of sometimes back yourself into a corner to be able to do something more along the lines of what you want to do. I've run into that before where, you know, I'm making a really steady paycheck, working with, you know, a company, but is it really challenging me and is really gratifying? Mm-hmm. Not really, but I kind of find myself getting a little bit trapped in that because then it's like I'm relying on it, right? And then I have less motivation and drive to be able to do some of those more...
You want to know what's
creatively,
funny?
I guess those more creatively risky things, or, you know.
I met a guy who was partners with, I was consulting at this one place, this shop. And I met a guy who was a PA. He was like 48. I don't know. Okay. A lifetime PA is what I'm thinking, right?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because they exist. And. Yep. Mm-hmm. He was developing some idea with Russell Crowe, and he admitted this. And he was telling me, and I was about ready to call bullshit.
Yeah.
You're a fucking PA. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be a PA. You know what I mean?
Right, like, right, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, okay, guy. And he gave me one of the greatest tenets of like my philosophies, and it was, if your ambitions are really, really high, never can you be comfortable until you get that. So, like, his thing was, I'm not comfortable being a PA.
Hmm.
So, like, I'm always going to be working to get the fuck out of this. So, like, but if you take a job that's making 80 grand, 70 mm-hmm. grand, whatever it is, and you're mm-hmm. comfortable, and now you're relying on that paycheck, and you're like, this job's cool. What motivation do you have
mm-hmm.
to work out of that?
Yeah.
So you'll never attain it. You'll just always be comfortable. Then your manager comes and says, hey, great job, Brad. Here's a 15% raise. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to stay here. You know what I mean?
Right,
and
right,
you're
going
to go, yeah, now. And guess what? It's been 3 years. It's been five mm-hmm. years. And your shit never happens. I think that happens mm-hmm. so often without people having that perspective or like, that kind of lost dream. And it hurts my heart to see people give up on their dreams. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's crushing for sure. Definitely when they're your friends or
definitely
people that you really care
about. Yeah. Right. Or that you went to school. Like I remember like in my Facebook feed, I see mm-hmm. people so often that like, I remember in college that were like, I'm moving to fucking LA. I'm moving to New York. Their ambitions were sky high.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, nope. Nope. Yeah. I stayed in wherever it was.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thinking.
Ah. Yeah, I'm at that point like where I'm just old enough where like a lot of my friends are like starting to get
you're
married. And
yeah,
because
you're
like
a few
that.
Years
and
younger than me.
Yeah, yeah. And I've had a couple like situations where with people where, you know, they're, you know, thinking about doing this and that and being ambitious, but then they're getting engaged. And I'm like, oh, yeah, my gosh, guys, you know, dude, this is not.
Babies. Dude, I'm going to be 30. I'm going to be 30 next month, FML.
Yeah. It's just rough because there are people that I know that that's what they want to do.
Sure. You know? Right. No, but yeah. It's
the only people that it really, because there are people that is 100% valid and great for them.
Completely agree.
But they're the people that were the dreamers that had all these ambitions and then never followed through with them.
That is what I
And it's
hate.
Almost like, it's very upsetting. It almost makes you angry.
So
right?
Upsetting.
So that's why you have to look at yourself through the same microscope.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're being a hypocrite. So
I'm being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
So I'm currently being a hypocrite, or you're saying like the
No. I'm just saying that you just, you know, there's nothing wrong with that feeling as long as you examine yourself in the same way.
Channel
that disappointment about that situation and just make sure that you're not falling into the same trap.
Yeah, I do that. So like, yeah. I want to help all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. So like all the time. If someone mm-hmm. would call me or email me or text me and be like, "Hey, I need help with this," I will always help someone. Mm-hmm. Only because I I'll back up a second. So like moving out to LA, it's been 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Been out here 4 years, same mm-hmm. amount of time.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that you and I are in the same.
We're in the same boat.
Same boat.
And
all right.
My career path has taken me in a lot of different ways, and this entrepreneurial one and entertainment one I absolutely love. And sometimes I think I gave myself an initial 4 years to be out here, mm-hmm. 4 years,
yeah.
so that I could always tell people, when asked, how long were you out there? I could say 4 years. Get it?
Yeah.
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years.
Four years.
I get it. Yeah.
How long have you been out there? Oh, 4 years.
4 years.
But it's 4 years. Yeah.
It was just
my thing.
Oh, man.
And
very funny. Ha ha.
Thanks. I'm punny.
Yeah.
Okay, so. And I remember.
You're not a dad, but you have dad humor.
I've got dad humor.
See, that's all you need.
I also have dad jeans with shoes.
Cool. Well, then, so, perfect. You don't actually have to be a real dad. You're already a dad.
Absolutely. I have dad mentality. So I was out here, maybe it was like 6 months. And I remember one of the first jobs I had at a consulting firm for the studios. And I remember one of the guys that I was at some beach thing with them. Whatever, it was like my first week there, and I was like really overwhelmed with this Los Angeles move across the country, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, like I know nothing, you know, I have no bearings, right, and we talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, let LA grow on you, you will never leave. Fast forward 6 months, I remember looking myself in the mirror and going, if this doesn't happen, like I'm gonna be the saddest person, like I can't move anywhere else. Like I feel like it's now this city inspires me. Do you get some of that same inspiration as you create?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and I think every year has gotten better. I think what you need to realize when you move out here and everything is you know, I moved right into the belly of the beast. I lived in Hollywood the first year I lived here.
Cool.
Like right off the boulevard, crazy town, USA.
Like right over there.
Holly Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right over near the Grauman's Chinese Theater and the Dolby Theater. And, you know, used to have to like walk to the grocery store amidst like all these, you know, costume characters, stand in line behind a drunk Jack Sparrow in the grocery store.
Right.
You know, it was weird. It was so weird. And honestly, overall, wasn't conducive to my best and, you know, most authentic emotional and physical health.
Sure.
So, you know, but it was a good experience that I, you know, was able to draw from. I also at the time didn't even have a car. I don't know how I pulled this off, but I didn't have a car in LA, but I was right area.
A year?
Like a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And I would just take the metro to Universal and all the studios, or I'd ride my bike.
Wow.
So that's possible. You can actually not have a car in LA if you're doing like background acting and stuff,
like
on TV shows
and
things. It's a way. There's a way to make it happen. And now with Uber and Lyft, I mean, you don't have to really do any of that if you don't want to. But anyway, so I just had to kind of like mold LA to my needs as a person. I'm from a very small town, so it was very overwhelming. So eventually, actually, as you know, I moved to Long Beach, and that was definitely more of my speed. And Long Beach actually isn't in another country. A lot of people think it is out here. But
it's far away.
Yeah, it's farther away.
Farther away.
The rent is less expensive. And
shout out to Mike Kalin in Long Beach.
Nice.
He's nice. One of the number one fans.
But for me, you know, since most, I'm probably about 50% of what I do with my business is out of my house. I just wanted to find a place where I could think and I could be comfortable. Sure. And I think that LA has a lot of that to offer, and it has a lot of diversity to offer. So the more you stay here, yes, the more you can, you know, learn to love it. And
you will learn to love it.
Well, I just love that. I think that's the great thing about the city, though. You know, I mean, it's not an instant. You know, you don't get instant gratification. Absolutely not. You have to work really hard for it.
I will always.
And that's the great thing about it. Yeah. You know? Because of that difficulty.
Yeah.
Because nothing worth
doing is easy.
It wears
you down into loving it.
Right. It does. It wears you down. But the cool thing is you have those high highs. You have those high highs, you know, where you're driving, you know, downtown or, you know.
Love them high highs.
On the 101 when there's no traffic, which right now is great, by the way.
Oh, dude, great traffic right now.
And you just look at that skyline and you just have those magic little moments with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving through Hollywood, you see Griffith Observatory illuminated at night. You're down near, you know, the ocean. You see a sunset behind the Santa Monica Mountains. I mean, there's magic everywhere.
Fucking magic everywhere. A buddy of mine, Mike, we golf. Like, he showed me this golf place a few years ago. It's a little Muni course by Griffith.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, dude, it's like the links are, like, directly positioned into landmarks. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
And when we go there, it's like, it's barely like just golfing for me outside of like bonding, right? But like, God, it's a way to bond with like the inspiration of the city. You see the downtown sky. Then you're right. Like, you see like Griffith Observatory right there and you're like, motherfucker, like this is what, that's like my favorite golf spot now.
That's awesome.
But it's about the inspiration, I feel.
Yeah, totally. But once again, it goes back to that thing we're talking about, kind of the, illusions of, you know, the romanticized view of, you know, happiness and all that. And I think that all those things kind of come together in this city for sure.
Absolutely.
And you do have to develop some sort of street smarts for sure. You have to be a survivor.
You do.
If you don't,
you need a survivor.
You have to be a warrior.
Yeah. I believe you've got to know how to fight. Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to fight and to fight for what you believe in, and not, depending on what your situation is and your drive as a person, because this is one thing I experienced, you know, because I was working on sets and stuff a lot in Hollywood, and, you know, I was PAing, I was doing background work, I was doing assistant camera work and stuff like that, and, you know, in spite of all the prestige and all that, like, kind of romanticism in my head as a, you know, a teenager in the Midwest, like, dreaming of, like, working in Hollywood. It was like, dude, this kind of sucks, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's okay, but it's like, I wanted to be able to kind of carve my own path. I didn't want to have to stay, you know, like, kind of suppressed, you know, by this chain of command, because there's very much a hierarchy in a lot of these things, because, you know, a lot of these guys have been working together for 20-30 years, and, you know, they're not just gonna let just anyone into their little circle,
right?
You know, they'll have you maybe carry a film mag. Well, this is funny because I actually, one of the shoots I did, they're still shooting on 35, so the mag, you know, that was my job. I had to take the film mag from the film loader to the film truck and then bring back a fresh mag, and then they would, you know, put it up on the area. And you know, so it was good. I got to see it, I got to observe it, and then I was like, all right, I'm gonna do it. And obviously now is one of the best times to be self-propelled as a media professional, because technology has gotten to the point where it's extremely affordable. So there really is no excuse to be doing your own stuff all the time.
Sure.
So that was the thing for me, because I love the feeling. I was just talking to a friend about this yesterday. Is the reason why I've always gravitated towards camera work is because it's just awesome. You feel like you have this really unique ownership of the material, because you touched it with your hands.
Right.
You move the camera, you rack that focus.
Yep.
You know, it's like, so for me, it was like, I just want to do that. And if I have to do some really low budget, silly stuff, just so I can feel that at the end of the day and be able to, like, go to bed knowing that I shot something really beautiful or shot something great, then it's worth it. And then just taking that chance that, like, and believing in myself that I could be on the level of all those cats I was working with in Hollywood in 10, you know, 10 years.
And you've got like, okay, that's a great splice, because I want to go into two more directions. And one is a little bit of what you're doing now and the content you're creating now.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, let's talk about this one first. All right.
Okay.
Way to not write your name on the board, by the way. Like I
asked. Oh yeah. I totally dropped the ball. Would you like me to do it now?
No. Well, sure. Yeah. You can do it now. Yeah, you okay. Do it now while I set up this question. Okay.
Here you go.
So like
my full name.
Yeah. Brad Canaan.
Got it.
Canaan. All right. Cool. And then if you want any handles or whatever, do you want a handle or something?
Yeah.
Keep in mind that everything you write, I've got to erase.
Okay.
Pretty so simple. Like Brad.
This is Brad A. Canaan.
Oh, Brad A. Canaan. On everything?
Yeah.
I love the ones that are just like this.
And then, of course, you know, I can put our company's handles.
Oh, yeah. Dynamic. DYNMC underscore
an abbreviation
creative.
It doesn't stand for. Okay. We've tried to figure out, you know, like dudes yelling nothing. I don't know.
Dudes yelling nothing. Multiple cameras.
There you go.
Yelling,
or we could say dudes yelling nice music. No.
Cordially.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. There we go.
All right.
Or under
yodeling
spate
north,
the,
oh here you go dudes yodeling north of Michigan
which Canada
okay
comma Canada there you go.
All right,
good job, we go. Figured it out.
Dudes yodeling.
Okay, so
but yeah, no, it's an abbreviation.
Now you've put your name up there so people know you now. And when I screenshot this,
yeah, yeah, in there. Okay, good.
All right. Okay. So we've talked about.
I want to edit that yodeling thing out.
No.
I don't want to get people confused.
This is all too good. So we talked about giving yourself the proper runway here to succeed.
Yes, yes.
And you just brought it up and you said 10 years. Like I said, 4 years. And now I'm like, fuck, 4 years.
Like, it keeps getting longer. You keep giving yourself you keep giving yourself an extension, which is good.
And you started your extension out with a realistic should be
your whole
10
life
years.
Anyway. You should just be like, I'm just going to do it my whole life.
Right.
Right?
I'm going to struggle bust this.
Like, why are we so concerned about, like, you know, just like the amount of time?
Right.
It's like, why does it, like, if you love it and you want it, then you should just give your whole life to it, right?
I'm willing to.
Right? Like, well, it's so interesting. We're such a, like, a disposable society. It's like, oh, after 10 years, that's it. You know, like,
yeah, it's done.
Isn't that weird? I just kind of had that, like, little thing pop in my head.
Yeah.
It's like, why do we give it a time limit?
Right.
You should just do it always.
Why do you give yourself a year to do this
these are, you know, this is because of, you know, societal norms. It's just because people have lived a certain way for X amount of years, and that's the normal thing to do. And then when you don't do that, then it, you know, it, people think it's weird, you know. But it's like,
oh,
it's funny. It's like, you know, once again, it like goes back to like a, I feel like it relates more to like a, I don't know if you've ever seen the Truman Show, but you know.
Oh, fucking love the Truman Show. Did you catch Jim and Andy documentary on Netflix?
No, I haven't. I just actually, I need to delve into some more of those documentary things.
Jim Carrey. I want to have Jim Carrey on the podcast.
Oh, nice.
You think he'd come on?
I mean, hey,
I don't know.
Anything's possible.
I think he'd come on.
Do it. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
I will not quit this. I'm writing it right now. I will not stop doing this podcast until James Eugene Carey comes on this
podcast. There you go.
Podcast.
That's a great attitude.
That's the goal.
That's a great attitude.
So if that never happens, I'll just be talking to myself.
Yeah,
I'll just
be, yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Okay. I mean, the good thing is, though, is you have that attitude. You keep doing it. Then you meet, you know, somebody else.
I'm speaking this into an
existence. Who's right there
huh?
on the same level. And then you're like, oh, okay. Now they can go on the show, but I still got to get Carey.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah. I'll get fucking this guy on the show or this.
Right, right.
Yeah, right.
This business model. I mean, hey, and, you know, if anything, you might just have somebody else doing the show for you for a while. But you could still fulfill that
promise.
And
then I come in and then get Jim and then I interview Jim.
Right, right.
I want to keep this going, though.
You never know. Now, the funny thing is the pressure's on me now to, like, become, you know,
something.
To the level that I, you know, want to, and then you can be like, I had him on the podcast.
Then I
when?
You know what was fucking hilarious? Holly said that. Holly goes, you're one of these times.
Yeah.
Someone that you is in your network now in LA is going to take off.
Yeah.
So someone is going to take off that you're interviewing.
Yeah.
Are you saying you're going to be that person, that first person? I'm gonna recall this.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who I'm up against, but I, you know, just for my own sake, I want to take off. So there you go. Right. So you will have somebody that'll take.
Okay,
off.
Good.
I feel like I'm taking off.
I feel like
the landing gear is starting to come up a little bit here.
Wow. You know?
Yeah.
What a great saying, by the way. I love that.
You know, I don't know if you want me to talk about some of maybe the stuff I've been working on.
Go, dude, go. You've been chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I know. I've just been like philosophizing for this entire thing, which is probably important. But so it's cool. So we started this company, just to give you a little backstory. So I moved out here 4 years ago. I started my own freelance business around that time. I'd been doing some things back in Michigan. But this project right here, Dynamic, abbreviated DYNMC, Creative, was a kind of a brainchild of my friend Adam Bussell and I. We'd worked together in college on a couple projects, and you know, we both did kind of a similar thing, and we both needed that collaboration to really fulfill your true potential. So we both had a really cool thing going, but we decided, let's try to form something. So it was funny because we were in Hawaii on that commercial job, shooting this commercial for a seafood company down there, and we were sitting. This is like the most lavish, ridiculous thing, but we were sitting at Dukes of Waikiki, you know, in Honolulu, downtown Honolulu, and sipping on like some, you know,
gin
tiki
juice
cocktail.
Yep.
You know, I think it was like called the Endless Summer or something. Who knows? Some like, you know, sweet, you know, funny drink. And we're like, let's do it. Let's figure it out. So we came up with the name, and then like we came back, we filed for an LLC and stuff like that. So fast forward a year from now, you know, we started doing commercials and music videos and some narrative projects. So we started to work with, you know, like kind of startup brands and things like that.
Okay.
Worked with a couple pretty
big
musicians.
You made a couple commercials that I'm... Didn't you make one with like Handshake or something?
Yeah, we did that. And that was really cool because so Adam and I started the company. We also had another friend, our friend Colin Knighton, who is like our visual effects wizard editor, who does actually some really great work on the side as well. He creates like animated opening sequences for like MTV and like different, you know, like concerts and things like that, and tour visual kind of stuff. And so he was on board as well, and he was kind of like the, you know, kind of our secret weapon. You know what I mean? Because he designed the logo. He has done all of our like motion graphics and stuff. And so the Handshake thing came about because another friend of ours from college, Victor Lord. Do you know Victor Lord?
Don't.
You don't?
I don't.
So he was working in the tech industry with this company called Handshake in San Francisco, but then he had kind of that spring awakening and was like, I want to get back into film. I've been doing this tech thing for a while, but he retained that relationship. So he sold us to them as like
a production company. An early employee at Handshake?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he worked there for like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So so that was cool, you know? So a guy, once again, all these different minds coming together. We have this independent contractor who's working with us.
Correct.
Who's more affiliated with the tech industry. And then we have Adam, who is got great networking talents and things like in the actual film industry and with like music videos and stuff like that. And then I've kind of brought in some of this more corporate stuff, you know, seafood distribution companies, automotive companies, and things like that. So anyway, so all together, it's great because it's a dynamic experience. And so I'm waiting for Jeremy now. So we're developing, we're budding. And at this point, it's just integrating everything that we do into the company, because we're all kind of doing, we all have these channels that are really unique and just funneling it through that. But so far it's been great. We've produced a lot of really great content. It's kind of mind blowing to like look at what we've done in a year's time and sort of, and already some of the challenges that we've had to face. I mean, we, you know, it's been business 101, man. I mean, you know, they didn't teach this shit to me in college. I'm starting to basically be a freelancer, independent contractor, business owner, and I mean, sorry MSU, but you know, let's incorporate some business into this degree, because there's two kinds of people in at least my degree. is like the kind of people that just do it because it's like the kind of fun, easy job or the easy, easy major, but then they don't have the drive to actually make it. Cause that's the thing, you know, you need to have the persistence to be able to be successful.
Dude,
but if we did give people more tools to understand how it works, because honestly, you know, when you start off, it's even hard for me to tell people. It's like, you just have to like do it. You just have to do it and you have 100%. To figure it out. You know what I mean? Cause you can't be controlled by the anxiety and the pressure and all those things, is you will never ever make it, because you'll get a job and you'll be like, oh great, I've got a job for a week, and then you won't have the job anymore.
Yeah.
And if you can't handle that uncertainty and be able to like figure out a way to keep your head above the water,
that's it.
Then you know, it's not a good thing for you to do. But I will say, even though there's that fear, there's a lot of adrenaline that comes with it, and it's exciting. And when you get that big gig, if you get a call or you get done with a shoot, I mean, you'll experience feelings and emotions that you probably won't in many other things. You probably feel it in athletics. I'm sure that you'd feel it, like, you know, like if you're an Olympic athlete or if you're, you know, I don't know, an MMA fighter or something like that. But it's one of those rare moments in life. It's like victory, you know, because it's a battlefield, you know. It totally is.
Love is a battlefield. That's what they say, at least. So just like love.
Yeah.
Building a business and a career path for yourself. Like you're saying, pave your own way.
Yeah.
Is a battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
You're paving a battlefield.
Totally.
That's a new thing. We should quote it up, throw it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Brad and Jeremy.
Loves. Sounds like we're like gonna record an album together.
Love is a battlefield.
It's gonna be like, you ever seen Boogie Nights where they record that horrible song?
Oh my god!
Remember
with
John C. Reilly's character and Dirk Diggler or whatever.
The big thing.
What's the song called? I can't remember.
Oh dude, I can never. Remember
it's
that.
So. It's
I just
so
remember
funny.
The. You are a star.
Yeah. Well.
You're a big bright.
Yep.
Star.
Yep. Of course. How could you forget that?
Right.
Man. Stunt.
Because that
stunt
was right
cock.
At the end, right? Just the big cock.
Yep. Yeah. That's the end of the movie.
Right.
It's the last shot. And bright shining star. He's just like.
I say that and do that to myself every time I'm getting ready to prep for a podcast episode.
Oh, God. Wow.
I go in the bathroom and I go, you're a big bright shining star.
Okay.
And then I come back out and I'm pumped. It's
okay.
Like my
okay,
mantra.
Good, good, good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to tell myself that. I don't whip my cock out in
public. Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like I go in there and I say that mantra to myself.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's wild. Do you want me to, was there anything else you wanted to add? I mean, because, you know, I could go into more detail about some of the things I've been working on, but, you know.
Dude, I don't know. Where do you want to steer? So tell me this. Okay. We've got to be respectful of everyone's time. But okay. I could talk to you for 5 hours. I think.
Right, right, right.
Well, so, like,
I think we covered things.
Everything. Where do you want people to go? So like, we'll link up in the show notes. Tell people where they can find you. And
yeah, dynamic. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I could speak to, I don't think I really like told people exactly where I fall into the, you know. The world of that.
So let's do this. For instance, okay, so this is just part of the authenticity of doing this podcast.
Yes.
So the reason why you kind of looked at me and I said, keep rolling behind the fucking camera and mics was I saw that on my computer it said storage disk almost full.
Ah, okay, got
it. So I'm going to run out of shit. So I had to walk over there, delete a bunch of files.
Okay.
Fucking put them in the trash can.
All right.
Then delete the trash can. Hoping that the RAM. I've got enough RAM.
Hey, it's a time bomb. We better get going here.
No, that's what I mean. So, like, plug whatever you want to plug right now.
Yeah, sure. So, so I'm Brad A. Canan, cinematographer, editor, one of the co-owners of Dynamic Creative, based in Los Angeles, California. Check out my stuff, my personal portfolio, at my website, www.bradacanan.com. And then also check out our production company website at dynmc.co. And check us out and follow along on all social accounts as well. You'll be able to find those links on each website.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Dude.
Thanks for having me.
And wait, one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the mission aligned with? Like, have you pivoted at all? Like, or is it the same thing that you started 3 years ago with Dynamic?
Oh, you mean like what the ultimate goal is?
Yeah. So like, for instance, have you pivoted the mission or what you're servicing or the clients that you have? Or,
I mean, definitely. I mean, we have the ability to be able to choose who we want to work with, which I think is awesome.
Oh, interesting.
You know, whereas before,
that's
you know,
because I, you know, once again, you know, you have to do some gritty work before you get to choose those things, and the entitlement and things like that that some people have in the industry, I don't think it's right. I think you really do need to be, I think you need to be a pack mule for a while. I think you need to understand what it's like to you know, be at the bottom of the food chain,
yep.
to be able to treat, to be able to create the culture, positive culture, as somebody who has more influence. You
yeah,
can't
right.
forget about the little guy.
Never.
You know, and that's a problem with, you know, a lot of things in our country right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right.
We're just trying to throw away the little guys, and they're integral. They're integral to the process.
Correct.
So, you know, so just being able to, you know, figure that out and have that experience. But in terms of aligning ourselves, I mean, the ultimate goal with us is kind of, in a sense, a stepping stone for bigger narrative work. So
Got
the
you.
Dynamic, you know, project will someday be, you know, a production company
Whoa.
Of, you know, that is going to produce, you know, cinematic
Cool.
content for
Wow.
television and film. I'm kind of aiming a little bit more towards, like, you know, television series and things like that, just because I think that kind of, I don't know, I just think I have more stories to tell. I think it'll
Yeah,
be
right.
better for kind of like what I'm interested in. And also just the way the industry is moving, you know, with web streaming
Very
platforms
episodic.
And things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just gives you an ability to develop characters more. And, you know, it's just
right.
exciting. It's exciting. It's an exciting opportunity. It's like you're making, like, multiple features, but it's conducive. It's a conducive marketing tactic,
right.
you know, especially if it's a good show, you know, if it's – and we've seen that. We've seen that. The TV shows are what people really, really are, you know, going towards right now. And of course, feature films, you know, obviously are still awesome. But yeah, so that's the goal. It's a stepping stone for that, to create
yep.
a name and then use that as a calling card to a big company or a financier, you know, a financer, executive producer.
Yep.
You know, so
Dude,
that's
goal.
The ultimate goal. I mean, it's kind of like what Ridley Scott did before he became a director. And once again, I go back to Ridley.
Well, you
but,
do go back
You know,
to
Scott Free. I'm not exactly sure the history of that name, but I
Great
know
Scott.
That
I always think about that production.
That, you know, his success was in the commercial world first, and
Absolutely.
You know, he did the 1984 Apple ad, which yep. is one of the best commercials of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and then he went on to, you know, direct some very very
to
big
like
films.
Mediocre stardom.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
There we
totally.
Go. All yeah. right, perfect. His name is Brad A. Canaan, and he is ready. Prep his landing gear. All right. I'll talk to you later, man.
Saddle
Thanks
up.
For coming.
Thanks, guys.